Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget to give me a follow there. I'm also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, where I actually have an article up today on Anthony Davis and kind of the patience of his offensive game. Make sure to go check out and read that. And also don't forget to give a follow to the actual podcast itself. You like listening to this, it's at Locked On Pels on Twitter. Pretty easy for you to follow. We're a victorious edition of Locked On Pelicans because if you're listening to this, you already know. The Pelicans won their second game of the season last night at home. First win at home. Second win of the season overall against the Boston Celtics in the Smoothie King Center. And a pretty tight and fun game right until the very end. Pelicans actually had a pretty big lead, but they started to blow it. But they won. Everyone's happy. We don't even need to do a podcast right now. Everyone should just be out second lining through the streets of New Orleans celebrating that everything's okay, because the Pelicans themselves were saying it was a huge relief to get this win, so why doesn't everyone go out and celebrate? Well, not so fast. Though they did play well, and there's a lot of good to take away, which we will talk about, there's also some bad, more than some still. A lot of the same problems reared their head, and we're going to talk about that as well today, on your Tuesday edition of Locked On Pelicans. But happy to just get a win. I'm sure the Pelicans and the players feel this was pretty monumental, a very hard-fought victory over a team that, you know, was only 5-4 going into this game, but that is much better than the Pelicans, even without Jay Crowder and Al Horford, who were both out for the Celtics tonight. So it's still nice to see a team, this Pelicans team, after they basically quit on their head coach, Alvin Gentry, in Saturday's loss to the Lakers, go out, play hard, and beat a team that, you know, they should have lost to, that they could have just quit against and, you know, not even rolled out of bed today and played this game. So it was good for them overall to see some fight that was kind of sparked by certain people, Terrence Jones in particular. I'm going to talk a lot about him today and the contributions he had. I rag on him a lot. I wasn't, very big on the signing, but without him today, this Pelicans team obviously isn't going to win. Really, without anyone, this team's not going to win. But Terrence Jones was kind of a spark needed for the Pelicans at a dire time. Anthony Davis did his normal Anthony Davis thing. Tim Frazier was a mix of good and bad. I jumped on and off his bandwagon multiple times throughout the game. Solomon Hill, being on the bench, had some good, had some bad. The defense was good at times, not so good at times. They gave up a lot of points to certain people. So we may as well just jump into everything and break down this game. But before we talk about the specifics, I mean, this goes to show you why you always want to make sure you're watching the Pelicans play, you know, and why you want to be in the arena, in the Smoothie King Center for games like this. And there's no better way to do that than SeatGeek. I've talked about them before on the show. It's an app I use personally. I was a little too tired to go to the Saints game this past Sunday. But trust me, I would have used SeatGeek to try and get in there, be there, you know, in the Superdome for that blocked extra point, the return for the safety. You know, even though the Saints lost, it's exciting to be there and, you know, witness these big moments firsthand. I was in the Smoothie King Center, you know, for the Celtics game where they won right at the end. People are standing, cheering. There's a lot of excitement. While it's nice to sit at home and watch these games in comfort, you want to be in there experiencing these moments, sharing it with people, and SeatGeek is the best way to do that. It's an aggregator, so when you post tickets or people sell tickets online, SeatGeek's going to kind of round them all up for you. They're going to show you the prices. They're going to give you the best price on the ticket. They're going to give you a rating on the ticket, let you know what's good value. You know, sometimes if you don't go to games very often, it's tough to know what seats are overpriced, what isn't. You work hard for your money. You want to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck, the best value. SeatGeek's going to help you with that. They're going to let you know if these tickets are worth it, if they're not worth it, with the rating system. Always try and grab those A tickets. And for our Locked On Pelicans listeners, we have a pretty special offer for you all. When you download the SeatGeek app, go to the App Store, the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, wherever it is, Download the SeatGeek app. Once you register and log in and everything, go to settings, go to promo codes, and type in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. You're going to get a $20 rebate. You're not going to miss a moment of the action. You know, it's a pretty good deal all around. There's nothing wrong with that. So make sure you download the app, go to settings, put in the promo code LO Pelicans, and don't miss out on any of the action. Drew Holiday's coming back for the Pelicans. They got two games this weekend. This is a perfect time to get your butt into the Smoothie King Center, enjoy the games live, see some great basketball, see if the Pelicans can get an upset win, because Holiday coming back is going to improve their fortunes a little bit. So again, LO Pelicans, and you'll get a $20 rebate. Don't forget to put that in when you make your first purchase. So the Celtics game for the Pelicans in a surprise move, and it was mainly due to injury. Buddy Hield got the start of Etuan Moore. Etuan Moore has been battling that heel foot injury, and they held him out of the game tonight. Probably a smart move overall, especially in something they weren't expecting to win. Nice for Buddy Hield to get the start. But it seemed like the Pelicans were kind of going to be on the losing end of this. And then Anthony Davis comes out, and I always say he does his Anthony Davis things. 25 points, 16 rebounds, 15 defensive rebounds, which is pretty impressive against a team that's not tremendous offensively in the Celtics, but are still pretty good. You don't want to give them second chance points. This Pelicans defense isn't great. When you give up second chance points, you're just working hard, harder, not smarter. There we go. I'll get it right eventually. You can't give up second chance points because they're so disorganized on defense after that kind of first action moves. And once they give up an offensive board, no one knows who to guard, who to cover, and where to be, and it usually leads to an easy score, which is exactly what the Pelicans can't afford to give up. It always comes down to Anthony Davis does his thing, and then one or two other guys step up, but they don't get enough help overall, or don't give enough help overall for the Pelicans to win the game. Well, tonight they did get enough help, and the first guy that you're going to see when you look at the box score is Langston Galloway. 21 points. He was 3 of 5 from deep. He did this coming off the bench. This is what they signed him to do. Maybe not exactly this great of a performance, but he was out there facilitating scoring. He takes maybe a few too long jumpers. He really, really digs those 20-foot, 19-foot, 2-point shots early in the shot clock, which I'm not a fan of, which you shouldn't be a fan of either. But he comes out and plays pretty well. He was kind of energetic off the bench. Shot well overall tonight. He realized, he was a hot hand going. He wasn't scared to shoot. He took 14 shots overall, second most on the team. That's exactly what you want him to do. He's solid defensively for the Pelicans. He can keep guys in front of him. They're not going to burn by him, which is something we're going to talk about when I get to the other side of the ball here with this game. But, he's not going to hurt you. He hasn't killed the Pelicans in any game so far this year, but he hasn't played particularly well. Well, now we can welcome him to the good offensive performance club that is so rarely seen for the Pelicans right now. So good performance by him overall. The other guy that really is going to jump out at you, who this guy is so key, is Terrence Jones. I'm gonna sing his praises tonight. And like I said, I've ragged on him. I wasn't a huge fan of the signing. I didn't think he was going to be any good. He's kind of hasn't proven it to me throughout the season so far yet. But he was a spark plug at the time the Pelicans needed it. And around the middle of the fourth, when they started blowing the lead, they were up by as many as 14 at one point, and the Celtics whittled it away. And it looked like all of a sudden just the energy was out of the Pelicans. The wind was gone from the sails. How was Gentry going to keep them motivated? Who was going to come up, and just kind of be the guy that incites some energy in this team and some passion? And it was Terrence Jones today. He had two putbacks on almost back-to-back possessions that really brought some life to the Pelicans, injected some energy in them. He played well on defense. He had two nice blocks, which were big at times, grabbed 10 boards. He was willing to get in there and just show some aggressiveness, especially on the offensive end. And this is where you want to see him used. He's better when he's below the rim, in my opinion. I know he has range from three. The Pelicans like him to space the court, but you want him grabbing those offensive boards, getting easy putback dunks when Davis is, stretching the court himself or not in the game. And Terrence Jones showed he can do that. He earned 29 and a half minutes tonight. This coaching staff hasn't played him a ton at times, and I think he's starting to earn their trust a little bit more, and you might see his role expand. If he can play like this, even not quite as well as, the 15 points he has, but just the energy he provides, especially at crucial times when no one else has it, Without that, the Pelicans do not win this game. The Celtics probably win by 8 or something like that. So it was a tremendous job by him tonight, and something the Pelicans sorely needed at a crucial time in the game. This game also showed why Tim Frazier's better to come off the bench. You know, he's kind of got a little bit of Lance Stephenson in him where he's going to give you some good, he's going to give you some bad, and you're just going to have to deal with all of this. He didn't take a lot of shots tonight, only attempted 5. Took a couple threes that weren't, you know, the most well-timed. He was 0 for 2 from there. Finished with only 6 assists. He did have 10 points. He can get to the rim at times. But defensively, he struggles and gets overmatched. Especially in, you know, against a team like this where they have Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, and Marcus Smart. And he can get handled by kind of slightly bigger guards than him on the defensive end where they can kind of body him up and just kind of engulf him in a weird little way. And he doesn't do a whole lot. He had, you know, a couple turnovers at awful, awful times, though he did come out and redeem himself by grabbing a key steal late in the game that basically iced the win for the Pelicans. But then he goes to the free throw line at a clutch time before that one and missed one. And it was just rough at times. You kind of get so excited for him, and then all of a sudden he does something that drives you absolutely insane. You know, it's going to be good and bad. He has key plays that helped this Pelicans team win, but ones that almost lost the game for him. So this is why you want him on the bench. I've talked about him a lot, especially before the season started. I said he should be able to help the Pelicans weather the storm. He's done a good job. Holiday's return is imminent. You know, most likely going to be in one of the two games in the Smoothie King Center this weekend, whether that's Friday or Saturday. I don't expect Holiday to play on Wednesday in Orlando. But Friday or Saturday, I think he'll make his return at home. I think that's a better situation for him. And then Tim Frazier can move to the bench, where he'll be able to set up Buddy Hield a little bit better, where he'll be able to make life easier for Terrence Jones, where he's not going to be overmatched by other guys. And, we want to thank him for the job he's done as the starting point guard, and I'm kind of excited to see, you know, whether or not he can thrive in this backup role. And it's going to, you know, happily for the Pelicans and Pelicans fans, this is something we're going to see him doing very soon. I've defended Dante Cunningham a lot throughout the season. I don't think he's played as bad as his individual plus-minus indicates, and I've said I don't particularly like that as a metric for evaluating players. I prefer to look at it for lineups at least. Tonight, though, I didn't like him at all, really. I don't have much to say. I'd give him near an F, but that might be a bit of an overreaction if you wanted to give him a grade. It's probably somewhere along the lines of a D, not a ton better. The reason he stands out to me for playing so bad in his 23 minutes was particularly defensive. He seemed just very hesitant to close out on shooters on the perimeter, and Boston took 41 threes tonight, you know, and they were hot early from deep before really cooling off. I think they finished 12 of 41, but I believe they started off 7 of 16. So they were hot to start. So this is a team that's shooting well for the first quarter and a half from three. When you get in the game and you're defending against them, you probably need to close out on them. They're shooting well. It's simple. And he's there so worried about guys driving to the rim against him, which is a problem the Pelicans had in this game, but he wouldn't even take a step out to close out on him. And when he would even move towards him, he wouldn't put his arms up. So he was giving you absolutely nothing on defense other than maybe trying to deter drives to the basket. But then the Celtics were just willing to shoot the open threes they had. And, you know, luckily for the Pelicans, they went cold after starting off hot. They were close to 50%. They finished the night at 29.3%. Like I said, 12 of 41, which is an insane number. But if they're hitting those shots, it still seemed like Dante Cunningham wasn't going to close out and try and take those away. And frankly, closing out on threes is what won the game. Anthony Davis pretty much managed to get part of a block on, I think it was an Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas three, and blocked it away and managed to ice the game almost. It was one of the key plays for the Pelicans down the stretch. So, you know, it was just you have a guy who clearly isn't doing the right thing on defense, and unfortunately just due to injuries and bodies not being a problem, they didn't have much of a replacement for him and had to leave him in. But overall on defense, things were pretty good. The Pelicans were harassing Boston shooters. They had their hands up. They were contesting shots. This is something they've done well, you know, all year. They're not just close by and letting the NBA tracker, you know, stats tracker, the Sport VU data, or whatever it is, show that there was someone close by. They also have hands up. They're trying to cover the shooter's face. They're going for the blocks. They had a bunch of blocks tonight. And it's working. It's helping their defense. This defense is improved compared to last year. I don't think it's amazing. I don't think it's top 10. I don't think it'll finish there. But I think it's middle of the pack. And after finishing in bottom five the past couple of seasons, I think that's definitely a good thing for this team. Some of the problems, you know, are going to be recurring things you've heard me say. Perimeter defense again. But that's going to happen when you go against guys like Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart. All of these are very good, quick guards. Isaiah Thomas in particular. He had 37 points, took 29 shots. He was 3 of 10 from 3. And he shot 10 for 19 everywhere else, which was pretty much in the paint. He was the go-to guy down the stretch for the Celtics, and he scored and he delivered other than that 1-3 he took towards the end, right at the end of the game, which, you know, you'd rather have seen him drive. But then they got the ball, they got a timeout, and they managed to drive again. And so he was scoring at will on the Pelicans' interior defense. The Celtics put in 44 points in the paint. And the Pelicans just don't have people that can stop these drives and necessarily clean up on the glass. Terrence Jones did a good enough job contesting things. I know people have been crying for Omer Asik and wanting to see him in there. He's just too slow. He's not a great off-ball defender, rim protector in that sense, sliding over. Guys can just kind of get around him a little too easy. And that's why he's only playing, you know, 12, 15 minutes a game right now. That's the main reason for that. So until the Pelicans can get this, you know, multiple guys on the wing who can stop these players from driving, the defense is still going to struggle. Solomon Hill did really well. He came off the bench again, but he played particularly well. He was swallowing up Isaiah Thomas at times. They had him matched up on there for a while, you know, for certain possessions and certain stretches. He poked the ball out, I think, twice. He looked really aggressive in that sense, and you can see why the Pelicans wanted to bring him in. His offense doesn't justify his $50, $52 million contract, but the defense is well above average, on the verge of good to very good. And you can see why the Pelicans like him. If he can get his offensive game going, he's going to be a huge asset. The problem is that's a big if right now. Speaking of offense, those same problems also came up and reared their ugly head this game. You know, the Pelicans were very reliant on Anthony Davis for stretches. No one else was able to score. They did, like I said, get that help, you know, from Terrence Jones, from Langston Galloway. But again, you know, while it's nice that they got enough help from everyone tonight to get the victory, these aren't people you can rely on. So, yeah, there's help around Anthony Davis. It just doesn't show up enough, and I think that's been the big problem in why people are maybe misconstruing of get some help around Anthony Davis. There's guys who can score. They just need them to score reliably, and I don't know what they can necessarily do to create that. Archie Goodwin, you know, had a few stretches at times where he looked good. He got to the line 6 times, which was very nice, but he's not the answer. This team's just still going to always be reliant on Anthony Davis, at least until Holiday, Evans, or Poindexter comes back. And again, I don't think Poindexter is going to do a whole lot for this team. You're looking at Holiday really being the guy, and if he can't get it going or he comes back rusty this year, this team's still going to struggle, and it's going to be as simple as that. So they went for stretches where it looked like the scoring wasn't going to get done. It looked like they were going to kind of get, you know, this lead slip away, which it did, and then maybe get kind of run out of the building in a game that's closer than the final score indicates. Down the stretch in the fourth quarter, between about 3 minutes left and about 1 minute left, that 2 minute stretch, maybe 4 minutes in 1 minute, so a 3 minute stretch, let's call it. The offense looked absolutely abysmal. It was relying on Anthony Davis isolations, and that's just not the way to go. Yes, he can do it this year, and the article I've written on bourbonstreetshots.com today talks about his patience on offense and how that's elevated his offensive efficiency, where if he gets double or triple teamed, he's willing to dribble out of it and kind of reset the offense try and get people, other people, the ball, or to wait for a lane to open up before he attacks. And he's done a very good job of that this year. But if he's not getting enough help, it's still going to be hard for him to do that. And at times he seems to get a little frustrated and attacks a little too much and forces plays to happen. That's why he finished with 7 turnovers tonight. He just tried to do a little too much because he doesn't trust his teammates to do anything else. You can see it. He takes some bad shots late in crunch time of games, especially tonight, and you're wondering what he's doing. He's such a good player. Why is he taking that shot? It's probably because he doesn't trust his teammates. He doesn't trust any of them to give him the rock in crunch time and see if they can score. And frankly, if you're him, it's completely understandable. They really need that second score. They really need to get these horses all lined up, as I've been saying, to get some points, to be reliable shooters, reliable scorers. That's what's going to make this offense click. Until they get that guy, whether that's Holiday or not, it's not going to work. You'll have nice games like this, but again, it's not going to be consistent. It's still going to just be Anthony Davis and one or two other guys doing things, and you never know what you're going to get. And right now, most of the time, it's ending in a loss rather than a win. But overall, you've got to be happy with this win for the Pelicans over the Boston Celtics. After the game on Saturday where they quit on Alvin Gentry, quit on themselves, quit on the fans against the Los Angeles Lakers, they didn't come out flat. They came out with energy. They got down a little bit early. Then they took the lead, ran it up to 14 points. When the lead started to slip away and the game became tied and the Celtics took a lead by 2 points, you know, Terrence Jones and people stepped up. They played with energy. They found that aggression rather than just kind of going down, feeling sad and letting the game slip away. They woke back up. They played hard, and they toughed out the victory here, and that's what you want to see. They've got this one at home. They've got a road win. It's something to kind of build on in a weird way. They've got Drew Holiday coming back. They've got to be kind of feeling good about themselves. And for a 2-9 team to feel good about themselves isn't exactly a normal thing to say. But it seemed like they're very upbeat. The atmosphere is much better after what it looked like and how terrible it was on Saturday. So it's nice to see if they can carry this forward. Orlando's going to be a winnable game for them. And then they've got two really tough games at home, but they get Holiday back. Maybe they can win one of those, maybe both. And all of a sudden, you're looking at this team potentially turning around. I'm not going to bank on it. I think it's one of those things where we need to wait and see. But we've got a bunch of games coming up that are going to really test this team. Like I said, they did some great things tonight. They got some great performances out of guys they needed it from. But they also did some of the same problems that have cost them and, would have caused them to lose 9 games so far this year. So we'll see. They're practicing today. Then they're traveling to Orlando. We'll see if Alvin Gentry can keep this team going in the right direction. It's going to be a tough challenge, and it might be his job on the line just to do this. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans Day, victorious edition of Locked On Pelicans. It's much more fun to say this. After the game, I said, this is fun. It's way better when the team's competitive and winning, and hopefully they'll keep this going forward. Don't forget, you can find Locked On Pelicans on iTunes, on Audio Boom. Subscribe, rate us, share us with your friends, tweet us out on social media. I'm at Nola Jake. The site's at Locked On Pels. Send us your questions. We'll answer them on here for you all. This is a lot of fun to do, and we're the only podcast coming to you 5 days a week. So thank you all very much for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow with a preview for the Magic game.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.